Why do you think misinformation spreads so quickly on social media?
Oh, look, misinformation is incredibly topical right now, but I don't think it's just a social media question. I think we live in an era where our information landscape and our political context are both rife with misinformation from the very top of the political food chain, if you like, all the way downward. And so it makes it very difficult when we live in a context where, if you like, the scientific truths we would have simply all agreed on, say, 10 or 15 years ago, are being called into question by people who are in positions of real authority. So when you start from that premise, then yeah. The idea that social media is filled with stories and tales that are of different value and different levels of truth doesn't really surprise anyone, because we are a society that is led in that direction right now.
Mm. And do you think there's any particular factors that contribute to this misinformation at the moment?
Oh, look, I think there's lots going on in the world. I mean, it does feel a bit like the apocalyptic era in Australia. Yeah. We've gone from bushfires to pandemic to all sorts of things happening.
Yeah.
And I do think in that context, a lot of people have been forced to be behind screens and using social media as their primary communication channel when they might not have been in the past. So I think we've got a lot more people looking at social media. We've got a lot more people having discussions and a lot more people who are incredibly anxious and stressed about the world around them. So you add those three things together, then people are probably going to be perhaps less able to spend the time they would otherwise have spent to really check what they're seeing, and perhaps that sort of affective or emotional dimension where we tend to share the things that we want to be true rather than necessarily checking too far is going to weigh in a lot too.
Yeah, and I guess you kind of touched on it there, but do you think it's up to individuals to kind of check the information they're reading, to fact check it, compare it to what they've seen on other sites, or do you think it's up to media outlets and social media to kind of vet what we're getting on our feeds or on the internet more broadly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think the question of whether social media platforms should be doing more to edit and editorialize and contextualize information or not is very topical after, only a couple of weeks ago that Twitter for the very first time fact-checked Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, there is definitely more that social media platforms can do, but I think relying on social media platforms, especially as editors or fact-checkers, is going to be pretty insubstantial still for a long time. So I think we do need to be mindful of the impact of what we're sharing. And I think you opened with we need to read widely. Perhaps we need to read wisely too. We do need to sort of try and check in places that we know or we rely on for high value, high vetted content. I think that relationship between social media and traditional media, at least the traditional media, has certain gatekeeping mechanisms, certain rules that it still has to stick to. And I think that's valuable to remember that there's at least some level of fact checking. And if the report starts with "it has been widely reported that ...
yeah.
that means it's possibly not true.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned it going back to Trump there, because Twitter, they took his tweet off for glorifying violence the other week. And I think it kind of opened up the question of whether if Twitter have the power to delete things off the internet, what should be deleted and what shouldn't be deleted, I think becomes the question if social media sites were vetting what was on them.
Yes, it's a really tricky question. I think right now there's sort of a battle in the American legal landscape where rules that used to say social media platforms are not liable for what happens on their platforms, and therefore they're not necessarily having to perform the role of gatekeeper or editor. Those rules are sort of being called into question. So there's certainly a time when I think Facebook and Twitter are both probably moving in slightly different directions. I think Facebook is terrified of the idea it will be told that it has to be responsible for what people say on its platform, because there's so much stuff there. It'll be so hard to check it all. Whereas I think Twitter is starting to look maybe optimistically to perhaps the end of the Trump era and going, well, what does Twitter want to be when it's been the megaphone for Donald Trump for 4 years? And maybe fact-checking is a really good thing for them to do a little bit to remind people that Twitter's more than just a response to what Donald Trump says in the morning. So there's lots going on there. But I think with all of that going on, that Twitter has been incredibly important for getting people to be able to pay more specific attention during the Black Lives Matter movement right now.
Yeah.
So I think that it does show that social media still has great value, and the aggregate of all of those individual voices being shared, I think, is really powerful and really important. But it is, you know, still being done in a context where we need to be careful about what we're reading.
Yeah.
So there isn't a perfect answer to this, but it's certainly true that there's more misinformation than there ever has been before. So we do need to read wisely and widely.
Yeah, I think even last week when there was the sharing of the black tile for Blackout Tuesday, and it was everyone was sharing it as a moment of solidarity, but it turned out that a lot of people were saying that the black tiles were actually blocking people from knowing information about the protests that were happening in different cities.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So I think initially people were posting with the Black Lives Matter hashtag, and you know, activists quite rightly pointed out, you are basically drowning out one of our main organisational channels. So I think that's where the Blackout Tuesday hashtag became the preference. But even then, people are saying, well, does this actually achieve an end or not? And it's, you know, in some respects, I think it's fantastic to see that level of solidarity. And certainly it made an impact when suddenly half your Instagram feed was dark.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's far from sufficient. So it's a great start, but it's whether that can then galvanise meaningful change or not. And having seen, you know, the protests across both America and Australia in the last weekend, I think we can say that's part of a campaign that does seem to be making real change.
Yeah, definitely. I think it just goes to show you how fast things change and how quickly the message around what's shared changes as well. So thanks so much for coming on this afternoon, Dr. Lever.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.